Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the Endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the Endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation today is with Rear Admiral Patrick Stillman, Program Executive Officer of the U.S. Coast Guard's Deepwater Program. Welcome, Admiral.
It's great to be here with you.
And joining us on our conversation is another PwC partner, Dave Abel. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, Pat, can you tell us about the Coast Guard's missions and its activities for our listeners?
You know, the Coast Guard is truly a maritime institution of this nation. If you had to describe it, I think you could use three key terms. Certainly our essence is maritime, our character is military, and we unquestionably are multi-mission in our focus. And by that I mean we use assets to perform multiple tasks to provide benefit to the taxpayer as well as the maritime community. I think because of our complexity, it's best to step back and just reflect upon the principal goals that we use to describe the contributions that we make to the maritime community. Maritime safety is perhaps the most common descriptor that is linked to the Coast Guard. Search and rescue requirements, promoting maritime safety through marine safety offices, through marine inspection requirements to promote the safe and productive facilitation of commerce. That is very much at the heart and soul of the Coast Guard. That's complemented by our role in terms of the guardian of America's maritime security. And indeed, the Coast Guard is responsible for the nation's maritime security. That is manifested through our efforts in the counter-drug arena, through our efforts in the alien migrant interdiction operations, through our efforts tied to homeland security and post-9/11 requirements as they are now defined and to be defined. Also, fisheries protection. The Coast Guard is fundamentally involved in that, and it's a key mandate upon our requirements. You complement maritime security, maritime safety with maritime mobility. We have regulatory responsibilities tied to the promotion of an effective marine transportation system. Once again, we are involved in cooperative ventures and relationships with the private sector as far as promoting safety, as far as promoting the smooth and effective facilitation of commercial traffic in the maritime arena. Also, as it pertains to maritime mobility, we have an icebreaking role, be it both domestic or international. The nation's icebreakers are run by the Coast Guard, and that's a very demanding task, as one can well imagine. In addition to those roles, we also have a national defense role. And unquestionably, we provide support to the warfighting sinks, to the nation's defense needs in multiple venues, be it through engagement, international activities with maritime organizations throughout the world, or be it to supporting port security unit deployments as it pertains to incidents after the coal, or situations such as that. So when you take these factors together, maritime security, maritime safety, maritime mobility, national defense, and complement that with the protection of natural resources, the fact that we're responsible for protecting the environment in the marine sector, oil pollution, hazardous materials, all that falls to the cognizance and the aegis of the Coast Guard. You've got a pretty broad plate and one that's rather demanding.
Can you give us a sense of just quickly how big the Coast Guard is in terms of the number of men and women involved?
Sure. Well, we're the smallest we've been since the mid-60s as far as size. Basically, we're 35,000 active duty individuals. We have 5,700 civilian employees. We have 8,000 reservists that complement that force. And then we have an auxiliary that is volunteer in nature that provides boating safety and contributions to multiple arenas as far as Coast Guard missions, and they number a little less than 35,000.
Yeah, the Coast Guard certainly has a multifaceted mission. And we know that you recently initiated a recapitalization program called the Integrated Deepwater System Program. Can you tell us a little bit about how Deepwater fits into this complex and multifaceted mission?
Yeah, sure, Dave. It's very much I like to use the metaphor, the center of gravity and the operational Coast Guard as far as our capabilities to perform services in these multiple missions that we discussed a moment ago. What we're trying to do is modernize and recapitalize our capability to truly serve the American public in these mission areas. And it's very broad in its focus. It encompasses all our aviation assets, both fixed wing as well as rotary wing aviation assets. We have about 200 aircraft that we operate, and it will either modernize those aircraft or it will replace them. In addition, we operate almost 100 ships in the maritime environment that range in size from 110 feet in length to 378 feet in length. And the Deepwater program encompasses the modernization or replacement of all those vessels. Now, those vessels are complemented by much smaller boats that people often see in the coastal community, if you will. The 47-foot motor lifeboat, the 41-foot utility boat, rigid hull inflatables, Zodiacs that provide coastal support and perform missions, as far as the Coast Guard's concerned, closer to shore. But this Deepwater program, frankly, encompasses both the coastal arena as well as the offshore environment. Now, if you package those aircraft and ships together and then reconcile the fact that you have to have a command, control, communications, computer, intelligence, and surveillance network that truly provides for a cohesive package, you've got another facet of this Deepwater program. We want to find the right technology and the right glue to bind these assets together so they're effective. And then you complement that with really a very important facet of the program, and that is the logistics system necessary to truly ensure that these assets and individuals who operate them are capable of performing the mandates of the day, knowing full well that over time those mandates may change. So we've taken what's called a system of systems approach, and we've said we've got demanding requirements that define America's maritime needs. We've got a Coast Guard that needs to be modernized and recapitalized because our assets are aging and in many respects ineffective, and our people and I think the public deserve the effective and efficient system that can best deliver services down the road. So it's a big chunk, metaphorically speaking, that truly will honestly define the next Coast Guard in the 21st century in many respects.
What's your role as the program executive officer?
Well, the program executive officer is, to be honest with you, I'm the steward, if you will, of the undertaking. Unquestionably, I'm responsible, accountable for the overall performance of what we are required to deliver to the American public. So in that regard, one has to stick to the knitting in that term as far as the basics, and I'm responsible to ensure that the acquisition adheres to cost, schedule, and performance requirements as any acquisition would. But in addition, we're re-engineering the Coast Guard, and by that I mean because of this system of systems approach, we are probably going to have to change practices internal to the organization in terms of how we do business. Because of the mandates of change, as the program executive officer, I have to attend to that internally as well as the normal external demands that one finds with a large acquisition like this. So to really answer your question, I'm a manager, I'm a leader, but most important, I'm a steward of the people that have committed their heart and soul to make this work. And I absolutely have to serve them in their best interests.
Let's take a step backwards for just a second.
Sure.
Talk a little bit about you and
right.
your career and,
right.
and what brought you to the Coast Guard in the first place. Let's go back to your first days with the Coast Guard and you know what piqued your interest and what got you started.
You'd be pleased to know that I can even remember 34 years ago. Let me just say one thing before I give you a little summary of my career. I can tell you with no reservations the Coast Guard has done far more for me than I will ever do for it. I absolutely feel it's an institution of value and virtue. And I was attracted to the Coast Guard because I wanted to do good. I really wanted to make a difference. And because I was raised on the shores of Lake Erie, I had an infatuation for the water. I read a lot of books about people that had taken ships to sea. And in some way, shape, or form, I think that captured my imagination. And as a result, I was afforded the opportunity by the good people at Coast Guard to go to the academy in New London, Connecticut in 1968, graduate in 72. And ever since then, I can tell you for the last 29 years, it's been a true adventure. And I guess if I had to describe myself first and foremost, I'd say I was a sailor. You know, I spent an awful lot of time at sea, commanded three different types of ships, was the commanding officer, the square-rigged sailing vessel, the Eagle, which is the tall ship that represents the United States the world over. But in addition to those command responsibilities, I worked my way through in terms of the requiem of learning that sailors must attend to as far as junior assignments on other ships as well. That was complemented by the opportunity to do my graduate work in public administration and in political science, and also contribute in the operational arena as far as planning and attending to many of the missions that the Coast Guard is responsible for. So in a way, I'm a jack of all trades, but I guess I'm truly a sailor at heart.
Well, that's a good stopping point for a break. Rejoin us as we continue our conversation with Rear Admiral Patrick Stillman of the Coast Guard. We'll explore the Deepwater program further. We'll find out why GAO described it as an innovative and aggressive program. We'll find out when the Business of Government Hour continues.